Just a short distance beyond the main residential areas of Prince George, you're surrounded by trees. Entire woods sit in people's front yards, but near the end of the street, one particular tree stands out.
This is in my friend's front yard. There's one dead tree surrounded by five nice big healthy trees.
That's Sean Morris. He lives just down the street from here, and the tree he's talking about is dead, but that's not what catches your attention. What makes you notice this tree is it's completely covered in ice.
Jeff and Ruth Ann started it.
Jeff and Ruth Ann are the people whose front yard we're standing in.
25-foot ladder up the tree and stuck a hose on it.
Well, it was my husband Jeff Beaudry's idea. He's always thought about trying to make an ice climbing route, so he just strung up the hose and let it drip, and it worked.
I came over to check it out, and I said, Jeff, this could go a lot higher. So we started climbing the tree, the live tree, reached over and set up an anchor. So I talked to a friend of mine who's a rigger, and we talked about how to anchor it to the live trees in a way that would hurt the live trees the least and make it secure. So this year, for the first time, we went and put eye bolts through the live trees and cables. So it's got three cables attaching it, and the anchor's coming off the dead tree, but it doesn't really have any room to move here, so we're pretty comfortable that it can't bend enough that it's going to break.
Okay, so basically we've got a tree about 20 meters high that's completely plastered with ice. It's mostly straight up and down, but it bulges out around the larger branches at the bottom. The best way to imagine it is to picture a frozen waterfall, only make it in the shape of a tree. As for how you actually freeze a tree, well, it takes a while. To get enough ice, the Beaudrys have to run their hose anywhere from 3 days to a week. But what's really key is getting the right temperature.
You don't want the hose frozen, but you want the ice to freeze as it comes out.
As we're talking, another woman arrives. This is Maya Jacob. She was looking for somewhere to climb when she heard about the ice tree.
I love ice climbing. It's one of my favorite things to do. And we moved fairly recently across the road, and one of the other neighbors in the neighborhood said, oh, there's some people and they've built an ice climb. And I didn't believe them. So they phoned me up. Actually, Jeff phoned on Christmas Eve, and I came over for the first time to climb. It was kind of like a Christmas present.
So now it's time to start climbing. Maya and Sean start strapping up and explaining the gear.
I'm putting on a harness, which is made of this webbing material, and it goes around my waist and my legs, and the buckle here. I have to double back it so it doesn't come undone while I'm climbing, and my rope will be attached to that. So if I fell off, my partner would catch me and I wouldn't fall onto the ground.
Well, the harness and the belay devices, the ropes and stuff are the same as you would use rock climbing. But then for ice climbing, you know, you need winter clothes, which is really kind of just ski gear. And then crampons on your feet. You need stiff boots and points on your feet to stick into the ice. And then you need ice tools.
So let's talk about these crampons. Basically, it looks like your feet are weapons.
Well, they are somewhat dangerous. You have to be careful if you're... When people are learning, you tell them to act like they just got off a horse, so they're walking with a wide stance. If you're not careful as you're walking, people often sort of bump their heels into their other leg, and with these you can poke the back of your calves or tear your pants pretty easily, so you don't want to do that.
So aside from these spikes, the other unique feature of ice climbing gear are the ice tools. They're about the size of a hatchet, and they look like a long bird's beak combined with a saw.
You hold them from the handle, and you don't need like superhuman strength to do this. You let the head of the tool, the weight of it, swing as you sort of flick your wrist.
Sean starts climbing. As he gets higher, I understand why I was given a helmet as soon as I arrived. Chunks of ice fly off as the sharp tools hammer into the tree. After they all have a turn, a challenge is issued.
Got some gear for you, Andrew. This is what Rick Mercer would do, so I think you kind of have to.
Fair enough.
I gear up, strapping myself in and putting 3-inch spikes on my feet. Walking with a wide gait to avoid cutting myself, I head towards the tree.
Do I sense a bit of trepidation?
A little bit.
The most difficult part is finding a spot to start climbing.
So you want to be sort of in more flat spots.
I swing, taking care not to hit myself in the face.
Is it hard to aim?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Eventually, I get a grip and start heading up. The focus is on finding a place to hit without sending chunks of ice falling down. I also have to stay aware of the spikes on my feet.
Point your toes into the ice. That's it.
Yeah, there's a hole there.
A few meters into the air and I'm ready to come down.
All right, that's probably high enough for me.
I lean back and start climbing backwards.
Whew, that was good.
Having tried it myself, I have to ask, what is it that makes this group of people want to ice climb so much that they'll spend days running a hose just so they can come out a few times a year?
I think I'm just kind of captivated by the whole idea of climbing a frozen waterfall. Ever since I first saw a picture of someone doing it, I knew I wanted to try, and I really like it.
For CBC Radio, I'm Andrew Curietta in Prince George.